It is an honor and it's a privilege to be able to speak God's truth. You know, that's something I never take for granted. Before I go on, though, I want to open up in prayer. Make sure we give credit where credit is due, right? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what the instruction that you have for us today, Father. I pray for every heart here, Lord, every mind, Father, that you open the hearts and the minds of the brothers here, Lord, that they may receive, Father, your instruction, Lord. Father, set me aside, Father, and speak through me, Lord. Father, and may you be glorified in all this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, as Dan said, my name is Augie, Pastor Augie. And about 11, 12 years ago, I went through Utah for Christ. You know, I was sharing with the brothers. And it was the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. The Lord has done a work in my heart to where I'm no longer that same person I used to be. The Lord delivered me from the bondage of alcohol and many other things that I had going on. Something that I thought was impossible, was impossible. But when I allowed Christ in my heart, he did some things that I had never, ever, ever experienced. And it's undeniable. Even if I wanted to lie about it, I couldn't. That it's the Lord. It's all the Lord. And it's all for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And like I was sharing with the brothers too, the Lord doesn't just save you to put you on the shelf. The Lord saves you because he's going to use you. The Lord's going to use you. The Lord has a plan for you. The Lord has the group of people he's going to put in front of you to minister to. And as we're talking with Brother Rolando, you know, the Lord does this in a way to where he pairs you up. He'll set people in your path that you need to speak to. And lo and behold, they're going through the same thing you just went through. You know? And that's how the Lord works. Because not only does he save you, but he equips you also. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you would turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit. Because I prepared for a 2-hour study, but I don't have 2 hours. So I have to cut it in half, right?
Yeah.
If not, we're going to be here till noon. Okay. Everybody there? Chapter 9, and we'll start in verse 1. Ecclesiastes. Oh, before you guys get there, I'll start. Now, King Solomon, we all know who King Solomon is, right? Now, he was a part of 3 of the books in the Old Testament. The Book of Proverbs, the Songs of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. The Book of Proverbs and the Songs of Solomon were written in Solomon's early years, okay? In his youth, when he was younger, okay? And if you notice, the Book of Proverbs is different than the Book of Ecclesiastes. Amen? So, God asked Solomon at one point, what is it that you wish? What is it that you're looking for? And Solomon, you know, instead of asking for power, riches, you know, honor, he asked for wisdom. Amen? He asked for wisdom, and he asked for knowledge to lead the people. And God said, I will grant you that, and I will also grant you riches, because you didn't ask for that in the beginning. God wants your heart. And because God knows your motives, right? He knows what you're going to ask for before you even ask, because he knows your heart. And that is what the Lord is after. He wants your heart. So, if, you know, the first phase is, if you are here If you're in the ranch with their incorrect motives, the Lord knows. And if you want Him to bless your life, you need to dedicate your heart truly and solely to Him. Because He knows. He knows your thoughts. He knows your actions. Amen? He wants a heart sold out for Him always. Amen? Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." In this world, that's what we want. We seek knowledge, right? We seek wisdom. We want to know what life is about. We want to know, one of the things that I hear a lot from a non-believer is, what is my purpose here in this world? Why am I here? So we're always looking for wisdom. We're always asking, you know, what does this mean? What is the meaning of this? Why did I go through this? You know, why am I here in this point of my life? Because we're hungry. We want to find those things that satisfy us. But there's a difference. Do we want the knowledge that the world and the enemy has to offer, or do we want the wisdom that God has for us? Amen? Now, the book Ecclesiastes talks about, gives Solomon's point of view of a man that's already been there and done that. Amen? He's already lived his life. Okay? He's already lived his life, and he's already gone down those paths where the Lord clearly told him he needed to avoid. But because our flesh, because Solomon's flesh was so strong that it overpowered him. And that reminds me of me sometimes when my flesh is so strong that I find myself wanting to go down a certain path that isn't God willed. But because of my pride and arrogance and you know, thinking that I'm somebody, or that I think that God is withholding something from me, I want to go down that path to see, you know, if Lord, are you really withholding this from me? And so that was the point that Solomon was at in the book Ecclesiastes. He wanted to give us a perspective of, look, learn from this. Just like a parent talks to his child, learn, look it, do as I say, not as I did. But because I've been there, I know what I'm talking about. And then usually our kids say, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about, Dad. You know, you don't know nothing. You know, you've been living under a rock all these years. You know. But it's true. It's true. Amen? So verse 1 says, "For I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare it to all." Solomon is saying, look, I considered everything. Look, I've been through everything. I've been through all this. And this is what I want to share to you. This is what I want to speak. I want to speak from my heart to you. Okay? It says that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love or hatred by anything they see before them. All things come alike to all. Brothers, when we operate in the flesh, we think we are set apart, that we're something special. We think that certain things don't apply to us. We think that we're bulletproof, fireproof, that we can dabble in certain things and not suffer the consequences, because you think to yourself, well, happened to him, but this can't happen to me. I'm much smarter than that. The text here is telling us that it all happens in the same way to all of us. Okay? We are all susceptible. We're not special. Okay? Solomon is saying, look, I've been there. And I want to declare this to you. I want to show you the danger. And because you think you're smart, or because you think you have money, you think that you're not susceptible to those dangers, you're incorrect. It says, one event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean. to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath, as he who fears an oath. So basically he's saying, look, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're also not going to be susceptible to the diseases that are out there, you know. Like, for instance, cancer. We hear of cancer a lot, right? Sometimes we get mad at God because we ask him, Lord, why? I've been serving you. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. Why is my family member, why am I going through this right now? He's telling us that we're not susceptible. We're human. We are susceptible to all this. So don't ever think that because you are, you know, a pastor, because you serve in the church, because you go on missions trips, that you're not going to encounter certain things in life. Or that you're not going to be tempted or distracted by the enemy. Amen? Sometimes us as Christians, we think, well, when I've been walking with the Lord for so many years, and you know what, man? The devil can't touch me. I'm too holy. I read my word every day. I pray. I go to church. We're being deceived if that's how we think. Right? You're walking around with a big target on your back. And if you haven't felt the stress of sin, and you think that way, give it some time. The attack will be real. Amen? For a non-believer, let me continue to go on. It says, now to all, we're all going to face death at one point. Amen? We're all headed that way. Right? Eventually, there's going to be one day when we're going to take our last breath here on earth. Right? But the beauty of that is that we know where we're going. We know that there's something else. There's something more than this. For the non-believer, death is something scary. Death is something final to where it stops. And it's unknown. For the believer, we know that there is something bigger. When I hear somebody passing away and is a believer, I like to address it in that way, that that person didn't die, that person passed on. That person passed on to be in the presence of the Lord. To some people, death is final. It stops there. But it's not. There's something more. There's something bigger than this life here that we have. This life that we find so difficult, hard, and disheartening. Full of crying, full of hate. There's something more. Amen? Verse 3 says, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun. One thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Okay? That term, under the sun, we've heard it before, right? We've heard it used. There's nothing new under the sun, right? And it means exactly just that. Solomon is explaining what Solomon means here is that under the sun represents is what you see, is when you see a life apart from God. Okay, there's nothing different. It's been happening. Okay, this is life under the sun. This is life apart from God. It says, one thing happens to all, and that's death that we're talking about. Amen? But notice what he says here. It says, truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Right? The verse says, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? But the Lord. When you think that you know, you're full of goodness, and you're this, and you're that, full of wickedness. nonsense. You're full of self, full of pride. And I like this on verse 4 where he says, but. Okay? Prior to verse 4, he's talking about the non-believer. Right? He's talking about the non-believer that after he goes to the dead. Okay? That final word, death. And then he says, but. Okay? But. That word, but, should offer hope. Because it means, you know what? There's another way. Okay? For that person that's been a drug addict for 30 years, that's messed everything up in his life, nobody wants nothing to do with him, there's hope. But there's another way. There's life. That says, but for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. How many times, and I'm going to raise my hand, how many times have you guys felt hopeless in your life? Right? It's an ugly feeling, right? That is the reason why we live. That's the reason why we get up in the morning, is because we have hope. You hear a lot of people taking their lives nowadays because it's the lack of hope that draws them to that line, to that threshold of taking their own life. It's the reason, it's the lack of hope that people get involved with drugs and alcohol. Because somehow, some way, they're trying to replace that hope. They want to chase something that's going to give them hope. That's what we need. We need hope to continue. We need hope to keep moving forward. But the hope that the Lord gives us is above everything else. The hope that the Lord gives us is greater than the hope that money gives us, that power gives us, or stature, friends, or the materialistic things that we own. The hope of the Lord is you can't put a price on it. It's genuine and it's pure. The word but represents hope. And I like verse 5 how he starts. He says, or actually at the end, where he says, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. What that represents is humility. Okay, yes. If you look at it in the animal kingdom, a dog is much looked on as less than a lion, right? A lion is an exalted animal. It's the king of the jungle. It's a killing machine, right? And a dog is man's best friend. Domesticated, you know, part of the family. But it's better to be humble as a dog, not that we're dogs or anything, but as a dog, as that figure, it's better to be humble than to be that exalted person that everybody respects, everybody has to like, that, you know, that is, that always says the right thing, that has everything. It's better to be humble. Amen? The Lord asks that we are humble. When we approach Him, we need to be humble. When we seek Him, we need to be humble. When we thank Him, we need to be humble. Amen? Verse 5 says, for the living know that they will die, and that's the believer. But the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. For the believer knows that that passing is coming, but we know where we're going. The non-believer knows nothing. And all the work that a non-believer does here, and even as believers, the work that we do here in this world, on earth, okay, it won't be remembered. They'll forget. People will forget who you are. People will forget what you've done. For the non-believer, that's their reward. Is the respect they get here, the power that they've held here, that's their reward. But brothers, we have a bigger reward waiting in heaven. Amen? The word says, do not store up your treasures here on earth where rust and moth or thieves can break in and steal. But put your treasures in heaven. That's where it's worth everything. That's where it's worth it. Amen? Verse 6 says, also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. All their love, all their hatred, all their likes and dislikes, everything that you've put work into this life will die. Have you noticed how much work goes into a person that harbors unforgiveness for somebody else? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. From the minute you wake up, you already have that in your mind of the unforgiveness you hold towards somebody, towards a brother or a sister, a loved one or somebody at work. It's work that you put into it. Solomon is saying is, all that's going to die. It's not worth it. It's not worth to harbor unforgiveness towards one another. Amen? And if you're a believer, there's believers that struggle with that. There's believers that struggle with unforgiveness. How selfish is that? You know, I went through that. I'll be honest with you. Beginning in my Christian walk, in my early Christian walk, I held unforgiveness for certain people. That, you know, they hurt me. But the Lord showed me that I was being a hypocrite. I was being a hypocrite because if the Lord saved me and forgave me, who am I? Who am I to hold that over their head? Who am I to hold that unforgiveness towards them? Nobody. So the Lord showed me, you have to forgive. I don't want it, Lord. Look what they did. Look how much fear, look how much, you know, pain that brought. And now you want me to just release them? But the Lord also said, that forgiveness isn't for them. That forgiveness is for you to be released. When you forgive somebody, it doesn't set that person free. It sets you free. It sets your heart free. Do you want to be used by the Lord in a mighty way? And there's unforgiveness for somebody, you need to do business with God quick. Amen? If you want to live a life that you feel like you're always taking a step forward, two steps back, time for a heart examination and see what's going on. If there's unforgiveness, you need to deal with that right away. Number 7. Verse 7 says, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Go eat bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. Bread here in this text represents, hold on a second here, I have it written down. Joy, bread here represents comfort. Okay? And wine represents cheerfulness. Amen? If you eat of that bread, you're going to be comforted. Okay? You're going to be showered with that peace that surpasses all understanding. But we have to train ourselves. And notice I say we have to train ourselves. I have to train myself. We all have to train ourselves because when we hit opposition sometimes, the first thing we want to do is we want to take care of it ourselves, right? And what is the one thing that we start doing right away? We start worrying. We start doubting. Then fear sets in. On how am I going to take care of this? Or how am I going to handle this situation? Because you're not eating of the bread that the Lord has offered. If you start eating of that bread, you will receive comfort. And what is that bread? Jesus. Yes. Amen. If you want to figure out what's going on, why you're not being comforted, why your, you know, your heart's always in turmoil? Are you eating of that bread? Are you eating of God's word? Are you sustaining yourself by the instruction of the Lord? If you're trying to sustain yourself with your perspective and your, you know, your point of view and how you think everything should work out, then there's going to be doubt, there's going to be worry, and there's going to be fear. Amen? And the wine represents cheerfulness. A comforted heart cannot deny the cheerfulness and the joy of the Lord. When your heart is comforted and you know that God has you, even though the circumstances might be bad, but you know that God has you in His hand, you can't stop smiling. You can't stop saying, "Good morning, Jesus loves you." Because you're satisfied, because you're comforted. You notice when you're going through something and you haven't been spending a lot of time with the Lord, the last thing you want to do is talk to people. The last thing you want to do is talk to people. The last thing you want to do is engage in eye contact with somebody. Right? Because for one, you don't want them to know what you're going through. Two, you're a Christian, you shouldn't be going through this, so you think. Right? And three, you don't want them to know that, you know what, you haven't been spending time with the Lord. If they know you're a Christian. The truth of the matter is, we're human. And sometimes, it's our human nature to try to take things into our own hands. And so we start kind of disassociating ourselves from the Lord. And then that's when all that nonsense starts. Amen? So we need to be comforted with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ, which is the Word. And then we need to be cheerful. And not contain that cheerfulness in, but spread it. Spread it. People need to know that Jesus loved them. People need to know that God has a plan for them. Because they could be hopeless. Are you telling them, "Hey, brother, you know what? Jesus loves you"? That could be the deciding factor whether that person goes home and takes his life. And it's something as simple and as tiny as that, that could save somebody. Amen? And it said, and also in verse 8, it says, "Let your garments always be white and lack, and let your head lack no oil." Let your garments always be white represents you always leave a good testimony. It's hard. It's hard to keep a white shirt white sometimes. Especially living in this world. It's hard to keep your garments clean. But it's not impossible with Christ. Amen? It's not impossible with Christ. We need to make sure that everywhere we go, we leave a good witness. We leave a good testimony. Because there's eyes looking into your life. Just like there's ears listening into what we say, what we do, how we act, how we treat others. And because we're not perfect, if there is a stain on your shirt, on your garment, we need to quickly repent and ask for forgiveness. And Christ can make that garment clean again. Amen? Let your head not lack oil, which means represents purity. We need to disassociate ourselves with those things that do not make us pure. We need to disassociate ourselves from certain relationships that do not bring purity in our life. We need to guard ourselves, okay, of what's coming in around us, the environments that we're engaging in, with the people we're engaging with. We need to keep ourselves pure. It's hard to keep your garment white when you're living an impure life. It's impossible. Do not allow compromise to step in and think that you're going to put on this facade in front of everybody and be somebody you're not. Because eventually, because the Lord hates sin, He will expose you. But He will expose you not to shame you, but he'll expose you so that you can get right with him. Because he wants a relationship with you. He wants you calling out to him. He wants you, you know, declaring his name. He wants you to draw strength from him. Always. Because our strength is always limitless. Limited. His is limitless. Amen? So we got to be done by 10? Okay, real quick. Okay, verse 9 says, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your life, of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. What God had told Solomon here is live joyfully with the wife whom you love. Solomon had a problem with going after foreign women because he had money, he had power, he had... Text says that he had over 1,000 concubines. Okay? Because he had money. He was well known. He had power. That's what I was talking about earlier, is that Solomon's flesh was so strong, he couldn't help himself. The one thing that God told him not to do is the one thing he did. And why? Because your flesh is strong. And if you continue to feed that flesh, it'll overpower the spirit. So, one woman, your wife, for one man, forever. Amen? And in closing, I want to take you to chapter 12, in verse 13 and 14. And this is the foundation for a man, okay, to live a successful Christian life, to be able to withstand those trials that you're going to face. Verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, right? The whole matter, the whole ball of wax here that says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. God is going to judge all your works, all your actions, whether good or evil. Good for your reward or evil for your punishment. Amen? So let's keep the main thing the main thing. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, for just giving us your instruction, giving us your word, Lord. We thank you that you love us so much, Father, that you want us not to go astray, Father, but to call on you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anybody that struggles, that has been struggling with things that you shouldn't be a part of, but yet you feel yourself being drawn to it, you know, I'll be available for prayer. Or we can come up, we can pray for you right now. If you feel that pull of the world, the pull of the enemy that wants to draw you away, you know, don't leave it unaddressed, because it's the enemy that's trying to distract you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Brother, that was a good word. Praise the Lord.
We're going to do communion after this, or?
Yeah, right. Whenever you can just say he's going to do a song. Right?
Okay. Okay. Brother Fernando's going to do a song, and then we're going to join in communion.
Oh, there is freedom.
trying to figure it out.
I know.
You know what? I got it, brother. Thank you. Cool. Thank you. Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Partake. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Brothers, I want to urge you, I want to beg you, do not ever, ever take communion for granted. But in the contrary, may the power of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension always, always be present. Because it's because he died on that cross for us is the reason why we're here today. And why we proclaim Jesus. And why he's going to restore lives. He's going to restore marriages. Because he died.